up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. No Tyler this week. You're not going to hear his voice for a little while. He's going to be a stranger, maybe give himself a stranger. But I'm here with Tim Keller, and I'm here with our fill-in co-host extraordinaire, Justin McCasland. Boys, how are you guys doing this evening? Tim, you've got a Boise State hat on. Are you having dreams of Jay Ajayi and Jeremy McNichols?
I'm always going to dream about those two. But honestly, my Boise State love started way, way back when they beat Oklahoma in, I want to say that Tostitos Fiesta Bowl.
That was what Ian Johnson was the running back, proposed to his girlfriend.
He ran that Statue of Liberty in for the touchdown and then proposed to his girlfriend on the sideline.
Was that Kellen Moore? Was he the quarterback then?
I do believe that was Kellen Moore back then. No. I'm sorry. That wasn't Kellen Moore. Oh, God. What was his name?
Kellen Moore was right after
something,
that.
Something Ski. He had a Polish name, I want to say.
I was going to say Kellen Moore. This is a new Dallas Cowboys offensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah, offensive coordinator. That's right. Yeah, and then they brought in somebody else to be the quarterback.
Fun fact, the last left-handed quarterback in the NFL was Kellen Moore.
Interesting.
Fun fact for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, he was not a great quarterback.
No.
But he is, from what I've heard, he's got a beautiful mind when it comes down to football.
Like a Russell Crowe-esque beautiful
mind. Yeah, like ridiculous. Heard. And so I'm not upset about him being the offensive coordinator.
That may change
a year from now. But.
True. Just a quick side note with Russell Crowe. If you watch The Gladiator and then you watch any newer Russell Crowe movie, dude is falling apart. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, he really shredded himself up for that role. And then he went back to eating the cheeseburgers. So, and I don't blame him. I love a good cheeseburger.
He's a bit of a tub. Justin, you've had a busy weekend. What's new with you?
Oh, man, yeah. No, I was lucky enough to have my cousin and his whole family here for the weekend.
Nice.
And then ridiculousness with electrical problems. So I'm fortunate to be here and didn't get shocked. in all seriousness, I know what I'm doing with that. But yeah, it's been a good weekend. I have not seen hardly anything about the Pro Bowl. And that's probably the only time we should mention the Pro Bowl on a Dynasty podcast.
Yes. But well, you know, this kid...
I did see that Zeke Elliott lined up on defense, and I thought, well, that's interesting.
Jalen Ramsey caught a touchdown pass, I saw. That was only cool. I got the ESPN little score alerts, and I was like, Jalen Ramsey. I'm like, the Pro Bowl is just stupid. Give it a
minute. It's ridiculous. But it's kind of fun because it's all the things that you wish they'd do in games sometimes that they just don't because everybody's so specialized.
That's true. That is very true.
And, so, and Zeke as a linebacker is probably like the worst linebacker in the league comparatively. Just, I don't know for sure, but
he's probably right up there. I would imagine. So we are here this week. We are going to talk about free agents. So Evan Silva, the industry legend Evan Silva, puts out a free agent tracker every year on RotoWorld. So I recommend just type in Evan Silva free agent, click on 2019. You can follow along if you'd like. And he lists every single 2019 free agent in the NFL, whether they're restricted or if they're a free agent. He'll update it as they sign. So, you know, we were looking for something different to talk about. No one's talking about free agents. You know, people are talking about the Senior Bowl. And if you're looking for great info about that Senior Bowl, make sure you check out Devi Happy Hour. They just had their first episode drop this week. So make sure you check that out. Really good information. I started listening to it this week. Andrew Harbaugh actually went to the Senior Bowl and had some really cool things to say. So if you're really interested in this draft class and you're starting to do some scouting, definitely check out Devi Happy Hour. But you know what? We were kind of brainstorming like, yeah, what's something different that no one's doing yet? And you know what? We landed on free agents. So what we're going to do tonight, myself, Tim, and Justin, we're going to go over this free agent list from Evan Silva. We're going to hit on the notable players. Like, no one cares about Brandon Whedon and Joe Webb and Austin Davis and players like that. Or Tom Savage, who looks like Nicolas Cage. Look it up. It's true. So we're going to go over by the offensive positions. We're going to bring up players, and then we're going to give you our landing spots for each player as we go through and where we think the best fit for them or where we think they're going to land is. So are you guys ready to jump into some free agent talk?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Let's do it. In the words of the immortal Tone Loke. I wish I had a funky cold Medina in front of me right now, but I'm currently doing a fasting, so I don't eat after 6:30. I just drink water.
There you go.
So it's working pretty good so far. Side note. All right, so let's start with the quarterback position. The number one free agent quarterback. There's not a lot of them. There's going to be some that probably get released. I'm looking at you, Joe Flacco and Ryan Tannehill. But we're not talking about you yet until you're formally released. So the number one quarterback free agent is Teddy Bridgewater. He's only 26 years old. He did that cool dance for the Saints where he was riding a bicycle or something, apparently. A scooter? Is that what it was? I don't know.
Yeah.
They mocked him. The Rams mocked him after they got that interception. John Johnson, I'm looking at you. So Teddy Bridgewater. Let's go to Tim first. Tim, where do you think Teddy Bridgewater, spin the wheel of Bridgewater, where do you think that lands on?
I think that up until a few months ago, this team really wasn't on the board when it came to the quarterback group, but I think the Redskins are going to be a big player for the quarterbacks this year with Alex Smith and his uncertainty there. I do know that they have a they're on the hook for next year's contract for Alex, but they have to guarantee the next like 2 years, I want to say, by sometime in March. So I think that they're going to see up until that day how far he's progressing and then make a decision at that point. But I know he was just out at a Wizards game there down in the D.C. region.
He has an apparatus.
Yeah,
on his
so
leg.
It's not. I am not a medical professional, even kind of, but it does not look good for Alex Smith. And part of Alex's game was his running ability. So with that kind of injury, you don't know what kind of shape he's going to be in to come back. So I would fully expect the Redskins to be a major player for a guy like Bridgewater.
Yeah, and the Redskins today announced that Alex Smith is most likely to miss the 2019 season. So they're definitely going to be in the market for a QB. Justin, where do you think Teddy Bridgewater is going to end up?
You know, I guess it depends also on the health of the current quarterback, but I could see him as like a stopgap in Carolina.
Okay.
If Jacksonville does away with Bortles, which it sounds like they're going to move away from him, that's another likely place I could see him. I'm not a huge Bridgewater fan. He's never been someone that I thought was as good as his hype. And I think a lot of it right now is just that we have not gotten to see any extended sample from him. And so it's a lot like any of our dynasty rookies, you know, the hype still holds up. So I'm honestly not going to have high hopes for him anywhere he lands.
Yeah. I mean, Bridgewater is a player. I think he's more of that accurate game manager. I think you can probably, what we've seen in the NFL from Marcus Mariota, that might be his ceiling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. I think Teddy Bridgewater, this is a hot take. I think he stays in New Orleans. I think that the Saints bring him back to back up Drew Brees for at least one more year. I know that the opportunity might be out there for him to start, and he might get that opportunity, but I don't know. Something tells me that the Saints value a backup quarterback there. And maybe they make him a promise of like, hey, Drew Brees just turned 40. You know, he's probably going to play for a year or two more. Maybe they hand the keys over to the car to Bridgewater. I don't know.
That was going to be my question. If that does happen, does that kind of tell the masses that they, you know, they're at least the Saints are at least in the lane of believing that Drew Brees is gone within another year or two?
Yeah, I mean, I think that teams like the Saints and the Patriots, I mean, they either have to draft a quarterback this year or they have to sign somebody, because I think, you know, when you look at the Patriots situation, you know, Brady's 41, he's going to be 42. He says that he's absolutely coming back next year regardless of the Super Bowl, and I believe him. You know, they got to do something. I know a lot of mock drafts have had them taking Kyler Murray like late in the first. I mean, we'll see what happens there. But yeah, I mean, I think the Saints have to address it, and maybe it's an in-house guy like Bridgewater who's already been in the system for a good part of a year and can get familiar with it. I don't think it's an easy system for a rookie to come in and learn. So, you know, maybe Bridgewater stays there and takes a little bit less money. Maybe he likes it in New Orleans. I don't know. So that's where I got Teddy Bridgewater. I think he stays put and puts some roots down in New Orleans. Yep. So our next quarterback, a very polarizing player. Some people love him. Some people hate him. It's Tyrod Taylor. So Justin, where's Tyrod Taylor going to go?
That's a good question. He would also fit that role with Carolina as a backup while Cam's hurt if he misses any time. I feel like they're similar players. They've got that rushing aspect and aren't necessarily the most accurate passers, but work well in that system. And I don't know, looking at the list of teams, there's just not a lot of obvious teams for me that would be sure. in the market for some of these guys. It's almost like they could wind up being a backup anywhere as well. Mm-hmm. And so, and I don't know the backup situation for a lot of these teams.
Yeah, I mean, the backup situation for a lot of the teams is kind of ugly when you really look at it.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
I've got Tyrod Taylor. I think he would be a great fit in Jacksonville. So Tyrod Taylor, it throws one of the best deep balls in the NFL. So especially when it was with Buffalo, we didn't see it as much with Cleveland. Although if you saw that touchdown that he threw against New Orleans to Antonio Callaway, whew, that was a beaut. Tyrod Taylor has the touch to throw a nice deep ball, and I think that would work well with players like D.D. Westbrook, DJ Chark. Moncrief's probably going to be gone. We'll talk about him in a little bit. But they still have Keelan Cole, which is a dynasty buy low, by the way. If you can get Cole for cheap, do it. I think Tyrod Taylor, you know, they're going to play good defense on the other side. Tyrod doesn't turn the ball over really much at all.
He's a safe guy.
And he
he's good for a system.
He can scramble, you know, even more than Blake Bortles, who was kind of sneaky when it came to running yards. I would love to see Tyrod Taylor get a crack at the starting gig in Jacksonville. Tim, where you got Tyrod landing?
I'm going to keep it in Florida, but I'm going to have him down there in South Beach. Down there in Miami.
All right.
Flores is going to get himself a veteran quarterback presence, and then I believe they'll go out and draft somebody that they can – not maybe necessarily just like Baker, but hopefully Tyrod can stay on the field a little bit longer before this kid has to go in, because I don't think there's anybody like Baker in this class. But yeah, Tyrod goes down there. He's got the running ability. Like you said, he's got the deep ball, and that deep ball is going to last all year long because he's not going to be up there in Buffalo in the swirling winds and the snowstorms that Buffalo presents. So I think it's a good fit for him. You got the new head coach. He's going to want a veteran in that quarterback room to pair up with his incoming rookie, because I'm sure the Dolphins and that new head coaching staff are going to want to bring in their guy.
Yeah, and that's going to be interesting too, because his OC is going to be Chad O'Shea, who's the Patriots wide receivers coach.
Yep.
So, I mean, if Tyrod ends up there, O'Shea's seen Tyrod Taylor plenty of times.
He knows exactly what he can do.
And he's had some pretty good games over the years against the Pats. I would also like to see Tyrod Taylor, if something were to happen to Case Keenum, if he were to get cut. Tyrod Taylor in Denver would be a fun one too.
Oh yeah,
That would be a really good fit as well. You know, with the wide receivers that they have there, and you know, Case Keenum, they say he's like, oh, we're just going to stick with Case this year, but you know, coaches lie, so you never know. Yeah. All right, let's get into our third and final QB, because we're not going to here to talk about Brock Osweiler and RG3 and Trevor Siemian, or even Brett Hundley, who's 25 but has stunk out loud when he's played. This last one's a fun one. It's Ryan Fitzpatrick. So wherever he goes, he ends up being fantasy relevant at some point. You know, he was a QB1 one year for the Jets. He was winning people weeks earlier in the season when he took over for Jameis, you know, when he had his suspension and then took over for him again after Jameis kind of stunk and then Jameis got the job back. That was a crazy, you know, set of circumstances.
Yeah.
But Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know what? If I'm Ryan Fitzpatrick, I stay with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Bruce Arians and I back up Jameis Winston. That's my philosophy.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a good spot to be, just as a like a job.
Yeah, I don't think he gets a starting gig anywhere.
I don't know if his kids are school age, but you know, they're probably in school if he does.
Yeah, he's 36, so they should be, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good spot. And it's not like Jameis is a bastion of health, so it's not that's a good chance he gets injured again. And I could see him getting a pretty decent payday for a backup. And if not, I could see him doing something like going to be in Oakland or something. And
okay.
You know, because it feels like they're just bad enough to mismanage their money and pay him way too much to be a backup. Or something crazy enough to trade away Derek Carr and then implement him as they wait for the 2020 quarterbacks.
Oh, my God. So. That would be interesting.
Right?
Tim, where would you like to see Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Honestly, I should have saved Miami for Ryan, because I mean, his new look this year with the chains and the, you know, the satin shirts.
The Conor McGregor look.
Yeah, I mean, he would look right? So great down there in South Beach with those outfits. But what I'm going to say is for Fitzpatrick, is he's going to hop on I-75, take it north to 301. He's going to take 301 to the 10, and then 10 is going to run you right into Jacksonville. He's going to be right at home. Again, the veteran presence. You know, they can bring in a rookie. They can bring in maybe another smaller name free agent to kind of compete with Ryan. But Ryan, I think, will be a good fit there in Jacksonville to start out next year.
I like it. All right, we're going to move on to the running back position. We've got some pretty big names here. So let's start at the top. The number one name, he's 27 years old. He's got the freshest legs in the industry because he didn't play. His name is Le'Veon Bell. He's going to be the bell of the ball, and it's going to be interesting because I know this man wanted some like $15 to $17 million payday, but as we kind of know in the NFL, running backs, do they matter? I don't know. This list is a lot of guys that could start in this league. Le'Veon Bell, I'll start with this one. To me, my gut says he's going to be a Raider. If there's anyone that John Gruden is going to overpay for, it's going to be a running back. And I could totally see him paying Bell big money. And Le'Veon Bell in Las Vegas, which is coming, might be a really interesting storyline here down the road. But, I mean, they have Doug Martin, Marshawn Lynch. You know, they're both free agents. So why not pay big money to Le'Veon Bell? He's a big name. Maybe they're trying to sell some tickets to that new Las Vegas Raiders stadium. I don't know. Seems logical to me. You know, John Gruden seems to love him if you ever watch Monday Night Football, and he would fawn over Le'Veon Bell. Oh, man, he's a great player, man. All that stuff. So I could definitely see Le'Veon Bell going to the Raiders. Timmy, he's going from the Steelers. Where is he going to?
I think you knocked it out of the park right there with the Raiders. I mean, it's a great fit for him. It's a great fit for the coach. I think they'll get along just swimmingly. But, I mean, we got two teams in the AFC East that could definitely use him between the Jets and the Bills. Actually, three if you talk about the Dolphins, but I think they're going to kind of just stay pat where they're at and mix and match.
Don't you touch my Kalen Ballage, my precious.
But, yeah, I think Oakland's a great fit there. Not that I would like to see him go here, but Indy would be interesting. But I think that they're pretty happy with what they got as well. They might get a late-round rookie to come in as, you know, just to kind of back things up. But Indy's another place I'd have in mind for Le'Veon.
Okay. Justin, what about you?
Yeah, Buffalo makes sense if he's going to get paid something obscene.
Yeah.
I could see them making a
payment to him. They've got $90 million in cap room, I believe, so...
Yeah, the next team, and this seems more logical for both his reasonings, would be Kansas City. They've got a little bit over the league average, and they've become accustomed to having a nice running back, and I feel like they're pretty close to making it to the Super Bowl, and that's tongue-in-cheek, obviously. So that may be one of those like splashy signings, and... I don't know the situation for the rest of their team, whether they need some other positions much, much worse than running back.
I think they have some high-priced veterans they could probably cut, like Justin Houston's on a big deal. You know, they could probably restructure him. They could probably make room for him, I suppose. Man, that would be like a fantasy all-star team.
Yeah. Well, and the reason I say that is because they are probably going to follow the model that LA did, where they just go all out in the 1 year. And because I could see LA, you know, falling apart in the sense of losing some high free agents in this next season.
Oh, absolutely. They're built with like a 2 year window.
Right. Exactly. But I could see Kansas City copying that because it is a copycat league. Mm-hmm. And when you make it this close and if you manage to retain your talent, you just push the rest of the way in. Just might as well.
That would be the splashiest of splashy signings if that were to happen. I agree. That would be a very interesting fit. There would be just a lot of ball to go around in Kansas City. Oh, it'd be crazy.
Gosh, yeah.
So speaking of the Chiefs, segue alert, our next free agent, only 23 years old, he may come with an impending suspension of at least 6 games probably, and that's Kareem Hunt. He's recently been linked to Chicago, to Philadelphia. Tim, would you like to see him join your Eagles?
I would like to see him, the player, join the Philadelphia Eagles. Obviously, I don't condone what happened, but if we're talking about between those chalk lines, yes, I would like to see him wearing an Eagles uniform playing for the Philadelphia Eagles. I think that would be a good fit for him there. You know, I'm sitting here thinking about it. Places like Jacksonville is a nice small market. There, you know. At first, you'll get that media attention right after the signing, but that'll dissipate very quickly in the smaller markets. Same thing with Tampa.
Yeah, Tampa could be a very under the radar spot. I mean, obviously, Peyton Barber was okay, and they drafted Ronald Jones, who didn't do anything. But yep. Justin, where you got Kareem Hunt going?
Yeah, that's a tough one because whichever team takes him, they're obviously going to have to be, like you said, like a small market or
just willing to deal with the headache.
Yeah, exactly.
Anywhere he goes.
Needing some sort of stimulus. Like I could see Buffalo doing it just because they need a stimulus in their team. Like something to where all, like they take a little pressure off of Josh Allen and win some games. And a lot of times they'll sacrifice a little bit of that media headache to win some games.
Mm-hmm. I would like to see Kareem Hunt go to Houston. I think Lamar Miller can be cut with really no cap penalty, I believe. You know, they have Deonta Foreman. We still don't know what he's going to be. He played very limited. He caught a touchdown, but yeah, I mean, it was hard to see like if he was back from that Achilles, which is always a super risky injury. You know, they want to be explosive on offense. You've got Fuller coming back. You've got Hopkins. You've got Watson. I mean, if they drafted an athletic tight end and then added Kareem Hunt, like, look out. That offense could be one of the better ones in the league. So, you know, in Houston, it's not a huge market because the Cowboys saturate that Texas market so much. So I could see him going to Houston and then be able to make some noise because they're pretty set on defense other than their secondary. So I could see Kareem Hunt going to Houston and being a really good fit there. So that's where I mean, there's a lot of play. He could also be in play for the Raiders. I mean, if they want to keep that Raiders, like we take all the bad boys type of thing, keep going. Like, yeah, Kareem Hunt would fit on the Raiders as well. So, you know, not only Le'Veon Bell, but Hunt.
I hadn't thought about this, but he ought to come fairly cheap considering that
he'll probably have like a veteran minimum with an incentive laden deal.
Yeah, exactly. So there's some pretty high competing teams that might be able to take the risk on him. And I say high competing or poor salary position teams.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's the only reason I think Philly's in that range.
Yeah, because they're up against it for the cap. So.
Oh yeah, they're negative $16 million in 2019.
Yep.
Yeah, they got some cutting to do. All right,
Jacksonville's negative -10. Looking at that,
they're going to release like Malik Jackson and some other big names that they've signed. So yeah, that's what happens. I mean, like you said, these teams go for it in these short windows, and then they're in salary cap hell. So then you got to adjust and kind of blow it up a little bit. So let's move on to a former Atlanta running back. I don't believe he's going to be there next year. Had a really nice opportunity to really take over and make himself a lot of money. And I don't know that he really did that. It is Tevin Coleman. He's 25 years old. Do we think he can be a feature back? And if so, who for? Justin, where do you see Tevin Coleman fitting in?
Oh, gosh. I don't think he's a feature back. I think that he's best deployed as the change of pace, you know, he's got some good long speed and is a decent receiver. He's hard because that's such a replaceable position in the league. And
it seems like someone will overpay for him though.
Yep. He didn't show out. And I think that's something we've seen recently too, is players that we did not expect to get a really nice free agent signing. I mean, look at Latavius Murray with the Vikings not that long ago. Yeah. Everybody's kind of shocked that he signed there, and I feel it's probably going to be that way with Tevin after this season. Looking at the teams, I just don't know. Like, nothing makes sense. So, I'm going to have to pass. Literally nothing makes sense. I don't feel confident planting my flag anywhere. Because even San Francisco is like, they already spent on Jerick McKinnon. Why would they go ahead and blow their load
on
Tevin?
And they got a stud in Matt Breida.
And they have Matt Breida. That's right.
Yeah, because that's the de facto answer last year coming into this last season.
And you know, I think if a team like the Jets doesn't sign Le'Veon Bell, they could be a fit for Tevin Coleman. I could see them doing that. Tevin Coleman to me seems like he'll get overpaid in free agency. Like he's going to get a deal at like $7 million a year, and we're all going to go like, what? You know, because he does have flashy plays, and he's got a pretty decent resume. I could see him being someone like the New York Jets. I mean, they've got Crowell, they've got McGuire, but I think Coleman would be an upgrade over Crowell, who has like two good games all year, and then he's just not very good. So, Tim, you got any other landing spots for Tevin Coleman?
I do. I like the Houston landing spot because, like you said, they can get rid of Miller pretty easily, and I think they like what they have there behind Lamar Miller right now. So Tevin Coleman can come in. He doesn't have to be the lead guy because I agree with Justin that I don't see him being that workhorse type. Another team that's kind of in that same situation is Seattle. I mean, they just continue to have that revolving door of like five or six guys every year. They can maybe cut a couple of those guys off the roster, go with Tevin Coleman, Chris Carson, something like that up there.
Yeah, and before we move on to some other running backs, I think a sneaky landing spot for one of these guys is going to be Baltimore too. So Ty Montgomery is a free agent. Alex Collins, I think, is a restricted free agent. You know, Gus Edwards was a nice story for a little while. But I wouldn't be surprised if the next player on this list, or one of these next two, let's lump a few of these guys in together so we can kind of keep it moving a little bit. Those are the big three, in my opinion, and then you've got a little bit of a tier break. So you've got Mark Ingram. He's 29 years old. You have Jay Ajayi at 25 years old. And then you have guys like C.J. Anderson at 28, Spencer Ware at 27, T.J. Yeldon at 25. So those are kind of like the next. Let's focus on Ingram, Ajayi, and Yeldon. I think Ingram would be a perfect Baltimore Raven running back.
Yeah, absolutely. Runs hard, especially with that offense that they're going to really be running. He can obviously catch, but they're not going to do a ton of passing if they have it their way. They're going to play great defense and just between the quarterbacks and running backs, just pound it down your throat. You know, play after play.
It wouldn't even surprise me if the Ravens either they draft a running back and then sign a free agent, or they sign like two free agents.
Yeah.
Like, what if they went out and they signed Mark Ingram and T.J. Yeldon?
That would be
a pretty cool combo, right?
I was actually gonna say, I mean, they would complement each other very well. They could both sit in the locker room and, you know, reminisce about Alabama. Things like that.
That is true. A couple Tide boys. Yeah. Justin, what are your thoughts on any of these three? Ingram, Ajayi, and Yeldon. I don't even know if Ajayi will get a starting running back job somewhere.
Yeah, he's gonna. Yes,
I think Ajayi is definitely going to wind up as a backup, just because he's
he seems
had
to me
bad injury and
Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
Someone's gonna land in Buffalo. There's no doubt.
Oh yeah,
because LeSean looked just.
He looks cooked. He's
you know what? You know what? I don't think LeSean's cooked. I think if you can go out and get LeSean super cheap, I think he looked pretty decent. That line was terrible.
Okay, now that's fair. That's fair. And to be fair, that whole team was, for a good portion of the season,
pretty terrible.
Just bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bad. Now, I like Mark Ingram to go to Tampa Bay. I think that would be a good spot.
Yeah, that would be a great
for him.
Fit.
He is a workhorse back, and I could see them rolling with him there. It would make sense to have someone come in and help teach Ronald Jones, and hopefully that regime is able to mold him, because I don't think that he's a bad talent. I just think that they totally killed his confidence last year, and that's a terrible way to start out as a rookie. So if they want to be able to regain any of that second round cost, they're going to need a vet that can help him and a good running backs coach. Ajayi and Yeldon falls into that same bracket as Tevin Coleman. I know that people aren't talking about him the same way, but he had a really good year this year, and he is a change of back receiving back and with a little bit of workhorse capability. Coming out of Alabama, he was not a bad running back. No. He just landed with a team that didn't use him right and had its own struggles at different times. So, I mean, we're just sounding like we're just hitting the same exact teams every time, but there's only so many teams that need running backs. There are so many established backs right now. We're kind of spoiled.
I could see T.J. Yeldon going to someone like Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Tevin Coleman exits, T.J. Yeldon comes in. I mean, you have Freeman and Yeldon, and we know that if Freeman were to go down with an injury, I don't think Ito's an every down guy, but no. T.J. Yeldon has, you know, he's got some 20 touch games in his catalog.
Yeah, they've got to fill that void. That's true.
Yeah, so I could see a guy like Yeldon end up in Atlanta. So I'm just going to throw out some other names, and if there's anyone that kind of rings a bell or you think of a really good spot, like, feel free to yell. These are all kind of older players. You've got the renaissance that is known as C.J. Anderson. You've got Spencer Ware, Marshawn Lynch, if he's still in the league. To me, he's like a New Orleans Saint. I could see Marshawn Lynch going in and taking over Mark Ingram's role.
I think if Oakland brings somebody in, Lynch ain't going anywhere but Oakland. So if it's either going to be another
picture
of shoes on the wire or Lynch is back in Oakland.
Yeah, maybe. You know, you got AP coming off 1,000 yards. You got Latavius Murray, who's 29, but always ends up getting 100-plus carries somehow.
Yep.
And then you've got the next tier of guys that we wish would have hit in Dynasty.
Yep.
Amir Abdullah, only 25 years old, going to be a free agent.
Philly.
You've got Rod Smith, 27 years old, backing up Zeke for the last couple of years, but has shown out. Corey Grant, another guy that's flashed. He's 27 years old. That could be a nice backup for someone. So there's some, you know, some low-key guys. I think Abdullah is probably the most intriguing. Mm-hmm. I think if he landed with the right team as a third down back, like say, for instance, you know, the Redskins, because they're in a little bit of they've got some issues with the cap, and they get rid of Chris Thompson, who's on a big deal. And they sign Amir Abdullah to pair him up with Darius Geis.
Yeah.
Like, that would be a kind of spot where I would start to get intrigued. Like, anywhere there's opportunity. Like, maybe he's the guy that Atlanta signs, you know?
Or the Pats pick him up for, like, the bare minimum. He sits there for a couple years till James White's done. And then just all of a sudden, Amir Abdullah is doing what everybody thought he was going to do for the Lions.
Or here's a good one. Amir Abdullah goes to Tampa because that's who the Cardinals wanted to draft instead of David Johnson. Yeah. And then Amir Abdullah is the third down back in Tampa Bay.
There you
go. That could happen. Yeah. So any thoughts on any of those guys that stick out at you that you can kind of that think might be good fit somewhere?
I got sucked into the Amir Abdullah thing and have finally rid myself of him from every roster.
That one preseason run, it's legendary.
Yeah, exactly. And he looks so good. And you know what's going to happen? He will do exactly what you guys just said because – he's been cut by everybody, and everybody pretty much gave up on him.
And now we're going to have the race for Abdullah.
Yeah. You know, like you said, Rod Smith's going to be a free agent after this year, and unless he signs a fairly team-decent deal, I could see the Cowboys replacing him with a cheap veteran and drafting someone late in the draft as like a third backup and potentially someone to develop behind Zeke. But I wouldn't mind seeing someone like Adrian Peterson come in and just help them with what I'm sure they're trying to do is in a Super Bowl run. And, you know, he's 34, but I don't think he looked bad in Washington at all.
He did not.
And
over 1,000 yards.
And seeing guys move interdivisional is not out of the norm. So, like, picking up a guy that knows their scheme really well, that might help.
Fun fact on Adrian Peterson, he played in that Fiesta Bowl I mentioned at the top of the show.
Oh man. Yes, he did. I'm really intrigued to see, you know, I think CJ Anderson actually probably ends up re-signing with LA.
I think
they like what they saw, and CJ will stay there. And then people are going to be scared off of Gurley, like in redraft. I don't think Dynasty so much, and I'm going to laugh hilariously. But anyway, I would like Spencer Ware to end up somewhere where he, he could be another guy. You know, looking at some of these teams, if the Texans want to save some money at running back for a depth guy, like, you know, maybe he ends there or he ends up with a team we haven't even talked about yet. But I think Spencer Ware, I mean, he's 2 years removed from a 1,400-yard season. He made a beautiful catch in the AFC Championship game that kind of went underrated. Like, that was a wide receiver-esque talent catch, and he was known as the guy that had stone hands, and he worked on it. I think he could be a three down back somewhere in the league. I just don't know if he's going to get that opportunity anywhere.
Sneaky Baltimore signing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's going to wrap us up for running backs. Let's move on to fullback. No, just kidding. We're not going to do fullbacks. Let's move on to wide receivers. So at the top, the number one free agent was listed as Larry Fitzgerald, but he just re-signed a one-year deal for $11 million to stay with Arizona. So he is going to be there for at least one more year. Sound the sad trombone for Christian Kirk owners. Yeah, not happy, but that's okay. He'll get his. Don't you worry. So let's start at the top. They've got the second rated free agent is Golden Tate. So Tim, you obviously saw Golden Tate come in. He got traded from Detroit to Philadelphia. Took him a while to kind of get going, and then he had some good games down the stretch. He's 30 years old. So, you know, this is going to be the last hurrah for Golden Tate. He's maybe got a couple years left. Where do you think is a really good fit for Tate in the slot for somebody?
Well, first off, I want to apologize to Golden Tate because these Philly fans are just a little overanxious. No players coming in the middle of a season and just immediately grabbing onto an offensive system and going to make plays. And you saw it took a few weeks. And then finally, he was making plays for us. And he made them at just the right time. So, love you for that, Golden Tate. But, yeah, Golden Tate is going to have to go somewhere to be a slot guy. I think if Philadelphia, A, they're up against it with the cap. So I don't think Golden Tate can stay there. And they have Nelson Aguilar, who is a slot guy anyways. So if I'm looking for a home for him, Indy is receiver needy. Indy is a big one for receiver. Arizona could possibly use other receivers. Dallas, Miami are some of the top ones for me.
So I've got one that I actually just thought of. It popped into my head. What about Green Bay? So Randall Cobb is probably not going to be re-signed with Green Bay. They've got a lot of wide receiver talent. They, you know, they've got the young guys, ESB, MVS.
They have
They've got Devontae Adams. They got Jake Kumerow, but they don't have a slot guy on that roster, unless you think Trevor Davis is a slot guy. Fun fact, he's not. So I think Golden Tate, like on a cheaper veteran deal, going to Green Bay could be a really big fit. The other one that I think might work out too, and it'll be interesting to how he fits, but I know that the Patriots talked to the Lions at the deadline about acquiring Golden Tate.
Oh,
and he seems like he would be a Patriots type of receiver. He's tough. He doesn't miss games. He makes big catches. I could see Golden Tate as a New England Patriot. You know, Chris Hogan's leaving, Dorsett's leaving, Cordarrelle Patterson's a free agent. The only guys left is pretty much going to be Julian Edelman and Riley McCarron and Braxton Berrios.
I hate to say it, but that makes a lot of sense.
It really is the best landing spot and makes the most sense. And what better way to say, hey, Tom Brady, you're going to keep playing? How about we sign some good free agents for you instead of just the trash that nobody else wants? And speaking
Kenny
of
Britt,
that,
anyone?
Right? No, I would actually not be surprised if Cole Beasley also wound up with the Patriots. He seems like another guy that fits that mold, and I'm not just saying that because he's short,
small and white,
white slot receiver, but that he's gritty and tough, and he's underutilized. And I've always been a fan of Cole Beasley, and I've been a little perplexed as to why they didn't use him more this season, because he is clutch. And I don't know if it's just that Dak didn't want to throw, or if it was what he was saying and that the brass is dictating where the ball goes. But you're right. There are a lot of Patriots going to be gone after this season, and they are absolutely the type to churn at that position.
Yeah, big time. So the next guy on the list, a very polarizing figure in the Dynasty community. He's had his ups and he's had his downs. His name is Devin Funchess. Only 24 years old. In 2017, I think he eclipsed 1,000 yards. And then this year, you know, Carolina, they're doing something a little different. You know, the big outside guy wasn't really where they were going with the DJ Moores and Samuels on the team. So Funchess had a quiet season. And, you know, Cam really couldn't throw the ball downfield to him anyway. I think Funchess is really, really interesting to where he's going to land. You know, I'm looking at teams, and it's going to be tough for him to find a spot where he's going to be fantasy relevant, in my opinion. You know, maybe a team like Seattle on the outside, if they're looking for a big outside guy, like maybe he's there.
They have always had larger outside guys. So, yeah, he was a big fit for me in Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, that would be where I could see Funchess, you know, kind of being fantasy relevant, but it's going to be tough. Tim, you know, other than Seattle, do you envision anybody making a run at the Funchess?
Personally, for me, if I was a GM of a team, I'm not a big Funchess supporter or fan. But, yeah, I thought Seattle was a pretty good fit. I mean, maybe the Jets or Bills, you know, just to add a veteran guy.
That seems like a Bill. They just had Kelvin Benjamin. I don't know if they're going to go to Devin.
I understand the Bills, yeah, just had Kelvin Benjamin. But
you never know.
Yeah, you pair them back up, and maybe they can find the best wing spot up there together.
Justin, you got any Devin Funchess love out there?
Yeah, I actually have liked the guy, and I know that's not a popular thing to say, but he came into the league super young and has kind of fell into, I say too much opportunity, but too much opportunity too quickly, and expectations for him maybe weren't set correctly, because I don't think he's a one. I think he's the outside guy that has the good ability to catch those sideline passes. And really, a place that I think makes a lot of sense for him is San Francisco. I could see them taking the out for 2019. They've got a, $7.2 million dead cap that they could do if they dropped Pierre Garçon. And he could replace him, and that would free up a little bit of money for them. Let's see. But he represents an $8 million cap hit for them this season. Mm. So it would make sense, because they'd get to have a guy that's 24 years old that has potential to grow into something, but they could probably get him on a decent contract just because he didn't show as much as everybody expected.
Yeah, I could see him signing like a 1 year, $4 million deal.
Yeah, the prove it kind of thing.
Yeah. Also looking at some teams, and this might be a common one too. I think a team like the Cardinals could use someone like him on the outside with some size. I mean, they've got like small guys. So they've got Kirk, they've got J.J. Nelson, they've got Chad Williams, who unfortunately I don't think will ever be a thing. They're all smaller. I could see them adding a guy with some size in Devin Funchess. So let's move on to the next receiver. We're going to go, and then I'll start lumping them in a little bit because we've got some guys that are all very similar here. The next one I want to talk about is John Brown. I still love John Brown. He's 29 years old, though. So in the Dynasty community, I think a lot of managers don't know he's that old.
Yeah.
You know, this is,
he doesn't
this is
seem
his...
like he's been around that long.
No, I mean, he missed some time, obviously, with injuries. And, yeah, he was like a 25-year-old rookie, kind of like Calvin Ridley. Wait, what? So, you know, John Brown's been around the block. Yeah. I would love to see John Brown go to Tampa and match up with Bruce Arians again.
That was my exact answer. Arians loved him in Arizona.
It seems like too good of a fit.
Yeah, I think if they wanted to move on from DeSean Jackson, you bring John Brown down, and Arians is just going to rekindle that love with him.
Boom. It's been decided. Justin, yeah. You have any other thoughts on John Brown where he can land?
I really don't want him to go to Tampa. I really like Chris Godwin, and I'm really hoping that
he
gets more opportunity this next season. For John Brown, I could see him sticking in Baltimore. He played well for them this season.
When Joe Flacco was under center, sure.
Yep.
Well, and honestly, I don't think that any receiver is going to be an obvious good option.
I agree with you 100%
on that. There, he might have to develop some rapport with someone before that happens. So that may not, that's not the best landing spot, but they do know him, and they are receiver needy. He is a 29-year-old receiver that's got health issues. He should not be somewhere with a high altitude with his...
So he's not going to be a Bronco.
Right.
He's got the sickle cell trait.
What about sickle cell, Colts, where you get the speed to kind of release T.Y. underneath a little bit more?
Yeah, that would make absolute sense.
That would be a very interesting, very
because
interesting.
Because T.Y. is literally a one-man band there.
Yeah, I could see him also winding up in Tennessee, maybe as just an added depth piece. They tried the Rishard Matthews thing, or Rishard Matthews was released there, and he seems like a depth guy for a place like that.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to lump up a bunch of guys here, and you know, these are guys that are probably going to be wide receiver threes at best on your team, like maybe bye week plugins, but I think some of them could have some upside if they landed in the right spot. So, you know, you got Jamison Crowder. He's only 25 years old. He's had some health issues this past year, but in the back half of 2017, he was a top 15 receiver in PPR formats. So I think a lot of people forget that. You've got Tyrell Williams, who's had, you know, 1,000-yard, 8-touchdown season in his resume. He's 27. Randall Cobb, he's 28. Personally, I'm staying away. I think he's washed. Dante Moncrief. I wish Tyler was here. Dante Moncrief, only 25 years old, and he signed the one-year $10 million deal with Jacksonville. He was healthy all season for once. So I think Moncrief, that would be a guy if the Pats want to sign an outside guy. I would like Moncrief on the Pats, but that's a pipe dream. Adam Humphries is a very interesting one. He's only 25 years old. You know, we talked about Cole Beasley. I think he's the younger version of Cole Beasley.
Yes, he is. Yeah. I'd like to see him land with the Cowboys. The price has got to be right.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it's going to be a lot with these guys in this range. Is it's going to be similar to the running backs. They're going to be somewhere we don't expect because a lot of these guys are going to be looking to get paid because they know that they're not going to be able to play as long as some of the higher end guys.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these guys in that age range, this is going to be like their last chance to cash in
Exactly. So, you know, you don't get to be as picky for team. You want to go with the team that, you know, may have to burn some cap.
Yeah, so out of those guys that I just listed, do you guys have any particularly good fits that kind of jump out at you? You know, you got Crowder, Williams, Cobb, Moncrief. We talked about Humphries.
I do like Crowder. You know, I think I had him in one of my hot takes, as a matter of fact. But he's got to go somewhere where they need that slot guy. And they're going to have that underneath game. So
what about Atlanta?
Yeah.
Mohamed Sanu's a free agent, I believe.
Yeah. They've been, yeah. I mean, they got two solidified outside guys. So Crowder in the slot there would definitely work. I mean,
it'd be nice.
That would be very nice. Plus, you have the tight end group that started to do a couple
Sanu's,
things.
Sanu's here, not a free agent, but he's not a problem to cut if they needed to.
You know, Detroit is one that has needed to fill that slot position since they traded Golden Tate.
Yeah, that's a really good
point. I could see him sliding in there. And that's something that it seemed like as soon as they traded him away, and obviously Kerryon got hurt, that offense sputtered ridiculously bad.
Yeah, they cratered. They were so bad.
So they probably could use that slot guy who's dependable again.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Definitely. Did you get down to Breshad Perriman when you run down?
Oh, so I was going to go over some of the ghosts of Dynasty past. So some of the other free agents out there, I'll touch on them real quick. So you got Breshad Perriman, only 25 years old. You have Tim's favorite player on the planet Earth, Chris Conley, only 26 still.
I think he needs to go somewhere where he's not going to be an outside guy. I'd like to see him get some slot work and see how he does there.
Like that big slot. Yep. Kevin White's a free agent. Okay, let's move on.
I was going to bring that up. Like, where would he have to go that his value gets reignited? Not all the way to where it was, but all of a sudden you see a small increase.
Maybe a team like Indy.
Okay.
He would have to go to a team attached with a good quarterback.
Exactly.
Like maybe he goes to New Orleans because Cameron Meredith just isn't healthy or something silly. Like he would have to go to one of those teams.
Honestly,
you know, maybe
I don't think
it's
it would do
Pittsburgh.
Much for me still.
Ugh, I would still stay away. Let's be completely honest. But let's circle back to Perriman and Chris Conley. So I saw some news this week that the Browns are actually trying to work out long-term deals with both Rashard Higgins and Breshad Perriman. Now, Perriman was picked up for free. I actually grabbed him in a couple deeper dynasty leagues. You know, he had a 1 week where he caught a touchdown from Baker, and I was like, why not? I got the roster space. And then he finishes down the stretch and has a couple more touchdowns, and I was like, he's actually catching the ball.
Yep.
He doesn't look like he's 40 years old. Like, what's going on here? So I stashed Breshad Perriman. Maybe, you know, with a quarterback like Baker, maybe he gets a second chance in his career. I mean, this is going to be his fourth season?
Yep. Well, that's where you're wrong, Doug. He still looks as if he's 40 by appearances.
That is very true.
He's not playing like he's 40. He was playing like a very skilled 25-year-old. He was showing speed on the deep balls, and he was showing the ability to go down and make a catch, go up and make a catch, and hang on to the ball, which we just were not seeing in Baltimore for whatever reason. And I really, really like the second half of the season for Breshad Perriman to the point where I've sent some, you know, back end of roster type deals in some leagues where I don't own him. In that startup we talked about last week, I went ahead and drafted him late in that draft. I like Perriman there in Cleveland. So I'm kind of excited a little bit if he stays there.
Justin, any thoughts on Perriman or Conley? Or hey, let's throw Jordan Matthews in there too. I don't know. He's a fun name that used to be a big one in Dynasty.
You know, the thing about these guys that's great is that they're virtually free. Mm-hmm. And so if you can catch them on the upswing like you guys are mentioning, then the beauty is that it's all profit. It's all gravy because what you're talking about back into the roster, fourth round guys, you know, last three rounds of a startup draft. If you miss, who cares? Uh-huh. And most often they're not going to be starting for you. These are the bye week fill in guys or the, oh my gosh, everybody is dead and I have to put in someone to make a full roster. So I really like some of these guys for that. I wouldn't mind seeing Jordan Matthews stay in Philadelphia. I think that's really where he best fits. It's always been where he showed out the best. And so it kind of seems like the team likes him too.
Yeah, I mean, they gave him that second shot. I also like to lump Philip Dorsett in that conversation. Only 26 years old. He's flashed with the Pats. He catches everything. Like the kid doesn't drop footballs. Hopefully he doesn't drop any on Sunday. But yeah, I think Philip Dorsett could be an interesting player for a team too. And he's virtually free. He got dropped in one of the deep, deep dynasty leagues I'm in. And I was like, you know what? I check the waiver wire regardless if I have any team needs, just because you never know.
Yeah.
So I scooped up Dorsett and I was like, you know what? He's a free agent. Maybe he lands in a plum spot and he gets an opportunity. Like, again, you're taking a penny and turning it into a nickel or a dime.
Well, I was just about to say, in the deepest of leagues, just a guy who had some name value a few years back, Carlos Henderson.
Our Darius Stewart.
Yeah, the Broncos are not going to bring him back. You might be willing to bet in 95% of leagues, you can go get him for absolutely nothing. Just hold on to him this summer. As soon as he gets signed somewhere.
I loved his tape.
Yeah,
he looked like Jarvis Landry to me.
Yeah, that Carlos Henderson. A possession guy between the 20s is just going to chew up catch after catch, yard after yard. But that Carlos Henderson lover is going to come out of the woodwork after he hears that Carlos got signed somewhere and be like, oh, let me go pick him up for free. Oh, man, somebody actually got him. And you get a third rounder out of him for nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so just looking through this list, too, you got, like, the Cody Latimer, Dez Bryant.
Yep. I used to have some love for Rashad Green.
Yeah, FSU, go Noles.
Yep.
It'll be interesting. I think the Giants may be players for one of those outside guys, too, because Latimer was, like, their starting outside receiver across from Beckham last year. So,
I would like to see what they do with Corey Coleman.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Or I could see them falling into the trap and signing a guy like Funchess for some reason. Anywho.
Yeah.
So, Bree, we're going to go over tight ends very briefly because this tight end class is hot trash, guys. It's so bad. I mean, there are some deep, deep names on here that kind of might get you a small tingle. Let's start at the top. So there's no real young tight end except for one, which I think is kind of under the radar. And Justin actually touched on it before we started recording. You got Jared Cook, who obviously had a career year this year. He's 31 years old. And you have Tyler Eifert, who's 28 and just cannot stay on the field. But the interesting thing about this list, when you look at this list, the Bengals, all their tight ends are free agents.
Yeah.
So you got CJ Uzoma. You also have Tyler Croft. So don't be surprised if the Bengals draft a tight end high in the draft. And this is a deep class, so I wouldn't be surprised at that whatsoever.
I was just about to say, I like the rookie tight end class. That's for sure.
Yeah. So to me, like Jared Cook, just stay with the Raiders, dude.
Yep.
I think the coaches
liked him. I think the quarterbacks liked him there. Mm-hmm. I think Jared Cook has found his home, found his niche, and that is in Oakland for now until they move to Vegas.
Yeah, and they talked about bringing him back as recent as yesterday. Yep. So that makes perfect sense. You alluded to a guy I mentioned earlier. I mentioned two of them, and they're both 24.
Yeah.
Jesse James and Max Williams. And Max was unfortunately drafted into the tight end wasteland that is the Baltimore Ravens.
Yep.
And anytime a guy lands there, your only hope of actually being fantasy relevant is when everybody else is hurt.
Yeah, the six other tight ends on the roster all get injured. Yeah,
exactly. So if he lands somewhere like – you know, say Cincinnati, Detroit. there you go. Like, these are the places where he might actually get to show something. And I would be excited to see where Jesse James particularly lands because he's shown out in Pittsburgh when given the opportunity. There are a handful of guys on this list that are really going to be opportunity-based, and that's a lot of what the tight end position is. Jeff Hyman showed some flashes there in Denver.
Yeah, he was relevant for a few weeks until his season ended with an injury. Yeah, he didn't look bad at all.
That's the thing about tight end is it's the most injured position in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And so pick up a whole bunch and see who sticks.
Especially in your tight end premium leagues, that's what I do. I've got like six or seven, eight tight ends on a roster. If there's someone I like athletically, like my guy, when I looked at this list, and I know he's 27 years old, so he's a little bit older, but he doesn't have a lot of wear on the tires, and that's Demetrius Harris.
Yes.
So Demetrius Harris, to me, has the skill set to be a starting tight end in a league. Now, I wouldn't be surprised to see him. He's not going to get Trey Burton money because I don't think he's at the same level of a Trey Burton.
Yeah.
But I could see someone overpaying for the services of Demetrius Harris in the offseason just because he came from that offense. You know, he did have some nice plays. So I think Harris could be a guy that gets more money than we thought he would. Now, as far as terms, as fits go, you know, there's some interesting, maybe the Minnesota Vikings get rid of Kyle Rudolph.
Kyle Rudolph, yep.
You know, and that would be, if you're in a dynasty league and Tyler Conklin is available, that's a savvy move that I've made in a couple of leagues where he was available because Rudolph could be a cap casualty. And then Conklin's the rookie. He tested very well athletically. He could maybe step in and be the starter. So, you know, I could see Demetrius Harris going there. You know, other teams, Seattle Seahawks maybe. as a spot. I mean, they've got just kind of a bunch of meh at tight end. I mean, I know Will Disley looked good, but he's more of a blocker to me. Yeah. You know, I mean,
Arizona.
Yeah. I mean, you got Ricky Seals has been kind of Jacksonville could be a team. You know, they're not, they already said they're not going to re-sign ASJ. So it looks like he's going to be on the market as well. Houston Texans, possibly.
Yes. I mean, so, they had some pretty decent play from their, you know, the back end of the roster types there. But yeah, I love Demetrius Harris. He's not your prototypical tight end, though. He's not going to be that inline guy. I want to say he's like 6'7", 230. So for that, you know, for that height, definitely a little underweight for the tight end position.
Gronk
so
retires. Harris goes to the Pats.
He is an athletic move tight end. I really like Demetrius Harris. When you said he was 27, I knew immediately who he was going for. But Justin brought up the other name that gets me most excited here, and that's Max Williams. And I said Detroit earlier, but when you said about Kyle Rudolph possibly being a cap casualty, bring Max home to Minnesota. Bring him home. Let him play for the Vikings. You know, Demetrius there in Arizona be a lot of fun. Nothing about Tyler Eifert gets me any sort of excited anymore.
I'm done.
You know, I think we went over Jared Cook. Jared Cook just makes sense for Oakland. But yeah, the rest of these guys on this list, it's there is not much to love elsewhere.
I kind of like AJ Derby in like the deepest of deep leagues.
I was gonna say just the slightest bit, but
yeah. But yikes. I don't think he's been with like four different teams now, so I don't think he's gonna hit. I think he's safe to probably cut bait on. He made
Neil
some Sterling great one-handed catches.
Yeah, Neil Sterling was a name that like 2 years ago I was trying to scoop up for free in leagues, but he's really not stuck really anywhere.
Yeah, so that's going to wrap us up for free agents that we know now. Obviously, this list will change a little bit as we get closer to free agency and we start to see the, you know, the cap casualties. There's already been a couple articles out. I know if you NumberFire put out some articles this week with potential cap casualties, so there's some interesting names on there. But we're not going to talk about them. We'll save them for another podcast as we get closer to free agency. You know, I'm really starting to dig into this rookie class. So again, I'm going to give a plug out to the Devi Happy Hour. Make sure you check them out if you're interested about this year's rookie class. Some great, great insight on the players there. I've been your host, Doug Eddy. I got Tim Keller, Justin McCaslin with me. We're going to take next week off for the Super Bowl. It is a national holiday, so we are going to observe it as we should. So we are going to take a week off, and then we are going to come back after the Super Bowl. Hopefully, I will be full of joy, or I'll be the most sour person on the planet. Tune in and find out in a couple of weeks here on the Dynasty Happy Hour. We'll see you then.
Let's go, Rams!
No.
And cut. That got cut.
I hate you guys.
And go home.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH@DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.